train your brain to see money. So what is the first step in training your brain to see money? The answer is financial literacy. It begins with the ability to understand the words and the number systems of capitalism. The second step in training your brain to see money is to learn to recognize what real risk is. When people say to me that investing is risky, I simply say, investing is not risky. Being uneducated is risky. Investing is much like flying. If you've been to flight school and spent a number of years gaining experience, then flying is fun and exciting. But if you've never been to flight school, I would recommend leaving the flying to someone else. Bad advice is risky. Rich Dad firmly believed that any financial advice was better than no financial advice. He was a man with an open mind. He was courteous and listened to many people. But ultimately, he relied on his own financial intelligence to make his decisions. Rich Dad also said, "Your advisors can only be as smart as you are. If you are not smart, they cannot tell you that much. If you are financially well-educated, competent advisors can give you more sophisticated financial advice. If you are financially naive, they must by law offer you only safe and secure financial strategies. If you are an unsophisticated investor, they can only offer low-risk, low-yield investments. They'll often recommend diversification for unsophisticated investors. Few advisors choose to take the time to teach you. Their time is also money. So if you will take it upon yourself to become financially educated and manage your money well, then a competent advisor can inform you about investments and strategies that only a few will ever see. But first, you must do your part to get educated." Is your banker lying to you? Rich Dad had several bankers he dealt with. They were an important part of his financial team. While he was close friends with and respected his bankers, he always felt that he had to watch out for his own best interests, as he expected the bankers to look out for their own best interests. After my 1974 investment experience, he asked me this: "When bankers say that your house is an asset, are they telling you the truth?" Since most people are not financially literate and do not know the game of money, they often must take the opinion and advice of people they tend to trust. If you are not financially literate, then you need to trust someone you hope is financially literate. Many people invest or manage their money based on someone else's recommendations more than their own, and that is risky. The fact is, when bankers tell you your house is an asset, they're not really lying to you. They're just not telling you the whole truth. While your house is an asset, they simply do not say whose asset it is. For if you read financial statements, it is easy to see that your house is not your asset, it's the bank's asset. My Rich Dad's definitions of an asset and a liability are: an asset puts money into my pocket, a liability takes money out of my pocket. People on the left side of the quadrant do not really need to know the difference. Most of them are happy to feel secure in their jobs, have a nice house that they think they own, they feel proud of, and think they are in control of. Nobody will take it away from them as long as they make those payments, and make those payments they do. But people on the right side of the quadrant need to know the difference. To be financially literate and financially intelligent means being able to understand the big picture of money. Financially astute people know that your mortgage does not show up as an asset, but as a liability on your balance sheet. It shows up as an asset on the bank's balance sheet, not yours. That's B&I accounting. In accounting, you would show the value of your home as an asset and the mortgage as a liability. Also, an important point to note is that the value of your home is an opinion which fluctuates with the market, while your mortgage is a definite liability not affected by the market. For B&I accounting, however, the value of your home is not considered an asset because it does not generate cash flow. Many people ask me, "What happens if I pay off my mortgage? Is my house an asset then?" And my reply is, in most cases, the answer is still no. It's still a liability. There are several reasons for my answer. One is maintenance and general upkeep. Even if you own it free and clear, it still costs you money for repairs with after-tax dollars. A person in the B and I quadrants only includes property as an asset if it generates income through positive cash flow. But the main reason a house, even without a mortgage, is still a liability is because you still do not own it, really. The government still taxes you even if you own it. Just stop paying your property taxes and again you'll find out who really owns your property. What is your interest rate, really? Rich Dad fought and negotiated tough for every single point of interest he paid. He asked me this question: "When a banker tells you your interest rate is 8% per annum, is it really?" I found out it's not if you learn to read numbers. Let's say you buy a $100,000 home. Make a down payment of $20,000 and borrow the remaining $80,000 at 8% interest with a 30-year term from your bank. In 5 years, you will pay a total of $35,220 to the bank, $31,276 for interest, and only $3,944 for debt reduction. If you take the loan to term for 30 years, you will have paid $211,323 total principal and interest, less what you originally borrowed, $80,000. The total interest you will have paid, $131,323. By the way, that $211,323 does not include property taxes and insurance on the loan. Funny, $131,323 seems to be a little bit more than 8% of $80,000. It's more like 160% in interest over 30 years. As I said, they're not lying. They are just not telling you the whole truth. And if you cannot read numbers, you'd really never know. In the banking industry, a 7-year average is used as the life expectancy for a mortgage. That means banks expect the average person to buy a new house or refinance every 7 years. And that means, in this example, they expect to get their original $80,000 back every 7 years, plus $43,291 in interest. And that's why it is called a mortgage, which comes from the French word mortir, or agreement until death. The reality is that most people will continue to work hard, get pay raises, and buy new houses with new mortgages. On top of that, the government gives a tax break to encourage taxpayers to buy more expensive houses, which will mean higher property taxes for the government. And let's not forget the insurance that every mortgage company requires you to pay on your mortgage. Every time I watch television, I see commercials where professional baseball and football players smile and tell you to take all your credit card debt and roll it into a bill consolidation loan. That way, you can pay off all those credit cards and carry a new loan at a lower interest rate. Then they tell you why it's financially intelligent to do this. A bill consolidation loan is a smart move on your part because the government will give you a tax deduction for the interest payments you make on your home mortgage. Viewers, thinking they see the light, run down to their finance company, refinance their houses, pay off their credit cards, and feel intelligent. A few weeks later, they're shopping and see a new dress, realize their kid needs a new bicycle, or they need to take a vacation because they're exhausted. They just happen to now have a clean credit card. Or they suddenly receive a new credit card in the mail because they paid off the other. They have excellent credit, they pay their bills, and their little heart goes pitter-pat and they say to themselves, "Oh, go on, you deserve it. You can pay it off a little every month." Emotions overpower logic, and the clean new credit card comes out of hiding.